Ever feel like your whole world could shift if you just, like, peek behind a different curtain? That's the vibe I'm getting from Amon Rising. This book, it pulls you into this world, William Raist's fantasy world.
Okay.
Where you've got the shadowy Underdark, and guarding it fiercely, you've got the Morlassa.
Yeah.
And then, on the flip side, you've got the human world encroaching on their territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about the action, right? It's about identity. It's about the price of survival.
Absolutely.
It's about what happens when the lines between, you know, good and evil, they get all blurry.
Yeah, yeah. It's a common theme, but it's really well done in this book.
So we're going to unpack all of that. Don't worry. Even if you've never read Race before.
Yeah, don't worry.
Got notes, insights, the whole shebang. We're going deep. So first up, the Morlassa, these gray-skinned assassins. And they are serious about protecting their world.
Oh, yeah.
And a big part of that is the code.
The code, yeah.
Yeah.
Their absolute rule book, it governs every single aspect of their lives. It's fascinating.
So how does that, like, how does that actually play out in their society?
So they've got this hidden city, Tereth, and they use these, well, they're essentially ritualistic killings.
Wow.
Sanctions, they call them, to eliminate any threat to their secrecy. Anyone.
It's so hardcore.
It's hard.
And even their weapon reflects this. The Dark Blade.
Yeah.
Handed down through generations. It's more than just a weapon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a symbol of their entire history, their commitment to this way of life. And that's where I think Race, he starts to make us think, is it really survival if you cut yourself off from, well, everything else to achieve it?
Especially when you've got someone like Ginevra right in the thick of it.
Oh, Ginevra.
Raised Morlassa, trained to be an assassin, but... You. She's got this power within her. She's an Amon.
Yeah, fire and magic.
Talk about an identity crisis.
It's a classic nature versus nurture, right? I mean, you're talking about a character who's been completely immersed in this world of shadows and secrecy, and yet her very existence, it challenges the core of what the Morlassa believe.
And Race, he puts these scenes in, you know, where she's looking at her reflection. She's like, wait a minute. You know, her abilities, she's questioning everything.
Questioning whether she can even change who she is to fit in.
Which I think for a lot of us, it makes you wonder how much of who we are is our upbringing and how much is, you know, just inherently us.
Right. Exactly. And it's something that even without the whole magic powers thing, I think a lot of people can relate to that, that struggle.
And it's not just her dealing with these huge questions.
Right.
We've got Kalan.
Oh, yeah. Kalan.
This Morlassa who's like, okay, I'm going rogue.
Yeah, he's obsessed with magic.
Obsessed.
Even if it means betraying his own people, his whole world.
And he becomes like this cautionary tale, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
Because he thinks what he's doing is right.
He does. He thinks it's for the greater good.
But he's experimenting on people, pushing the limits.
Totally. Ethically, it's, well, it's murky.
So where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
When does progress become, you know, too dangerous?
That's the question, isn't it? Especially with something as powerful as magic. Raist really makes you think about the consequences.
And it feels really relevant today, right? I mean, think about...
Absolutely. It's like, how far is too far? And who decides?
Right. And then we get to this whole other layer of belief, the power of what we believe.
Oh, yeah. That's huge in this book.
Raist doesn't let you off easy. He showed how easy it is to be tricked by what you believe, how dangerous blind faith can be.
Totally. And not just with the Morlassa and their code, but the humans, too.
Yes. They've got their own prejudices, their own convictions, and it shapes them just as much as any magic.
It's that idea that what you believe defines your reality.
There's this one scene, I don't know if you remember it, where Ginevra's talking to this human knight.
Okay.
And she's asking about his shield.
Right.
And infused with holy magic.
Right, right.
And he's just like, I don't know how it works, but I know it does.
It's such a small moment, but it's perfect.
Because it's like, how many of us are like that? We don't always need to understand. We just need to believe.
And that can be good. It can give you strength.
But, and Race shows this so well, it can also be used against you. It can make you vulnerable.
100%. It makes you question your own beliefs, you know?
Yeah.
What do you really stand for and why?
And that's what I love about this book. It's not just giving us one answer. It's making us ask those questions.
It's challenging us.
And that multiple perspectives thing, it's everywhere, even with the Dark Blade, the Morlassa weapon.
Yeah, yeah. What about, it's like, for them, it's the symbol of, you know, we hold on to tradition no matter what. But in the hands of, say, an Amon, I don't know. It could mean something totally different. It could be rebellion. It could be fighting back against, like, being told who you are.
It's like that idea that there's no one truth. It all depends, you know?
Exactly. And your experiences, what you believe, it all colors how you see things.
Just like Ginevra.
Hmm.
Stuck between these two worlds.
Right.
And neither one really gets her. Not completely. And then Race just, he leaves us hanging. She's at this crossroads, and we don't know what she's going to do.
It's such a good ending, though. Like, what happens next? You're left thinking about it.
Oh, totally. And it's not just her story. It's those bigger questions he's throwing at us.
Right, like we were saying earlier about belief.
And tradition. Yeah. You've got the Morlasa. They're clinging to it for dear life.
Yeah.
And then someone like Kilan who's like, nope, got to break free, even if it destroys everything. So can you have both? Can you move forward without losing yourself?
It makes you think about that tension.
Big time.
Yeah.
And not just in a fantasy world, right? Like, it's everywhere. Trying to preserve the past, but also, like, push for something new.
It's messy. Life's messy. And this book gets that.
Yeah. It doesn't give you the easy answers.
But it makes you think about it, right? It makes you look at your own biases, what you think you know about the world.
It's a call to action, almost. Think critically. Mm-hmm. Engage with the world around you.
Yes. And that there's always more to learn. Always.
Oh, I love this book. So much to unpack. But if you get anything from this deep dive, it's be curious. Question everything.
Don't be afraid to dig a little deeper.
Because let's be honest, the best stuff is usually hit and right.
Oh, the best discoveries come from asking the hard questions, not from getting the easy answers.
So true. Well, thanks for coming on this journey with us into Aemon Rising.
This was fun.
Always a blast. And listeners, until next time, keep exploring, keep those questions coming, and as always, dive deep.